Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Our reading today comes from Psalm chapter 48. This is attributed to the sons of Korah, like many of the Psalms we've read so far. Remember, the sons of Korah were the ones that were put in charge of revamping the temple liturgy and the choir and the singing of the temple. So they wrote many psalms. And this is a psalm some believe is connected to Jehoshaphat the king. Think of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is a really interesting backdrop. So let me tell you about 2 Chronicles 20 before we read the psalm, and the psalm will make sense. Jehoshaphat is the king. Jehoshaphat fears the Lord. He is a ruler that fears God. And the city of Jerusalem is being surrounded by its enemies. You have Ammon, the Ammonites, that we hear a lot about in the Old Testament. They have come together in league with the Moabites. And also the nation of Edom is involved. And they are surrounding God's people. Jehoshaphat prays to God for an answer. And a prophet comes to him and tells him, here's how we're going to fight this battle. You're to have the choir to come out and sing and produce music. And God will do the fighting for you. You see, Israel was outgunned. They were outmanned, but God brings confusion into the camp of Israel's enemies. So I want you to think about that. The way they fought that war is through worship, through singing. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? So let's read through this psalm and we'll talk more about some application for us. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They come on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took flight. Trembling took hold of them. There was anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of the host, in the city of our God, which he will establish forever, Selah. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so you pray, your praise reaches the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. So a beautiful psalm. A psalm where we see what's happened. These nations have arrayed themselves against God. We think of Psalm 2. These nations take their stand against God. But God acts. And if 2 Chronicles 20 is the background to this psalm, which I really think it is, we see what happens. God brings panic among the enemy. Now, I don't know exactly how that happens. But think about that. I mean, in military strategy, you could have one army that's superior to another. You can have more men, more troops. But if panic strikes the camp, it equalizes those numbers. And so the psalm tells us some type of panic goes into these kings and God defeats them. For us today, I want us to consider something that I think is very important. I've noticed as I get older, Satan tends to attack the things that are most important to God. For example, Satan attacks the family. Now we know the family, if you go back and look at scripture, is really the bedrock of civilization. Anyone that studies sociology or looks at history will realize that when families are strong, nations are strong. And Satan has attacked the family, especially here in the United States and in the West. Families are under attack. The idea of having a father and mother in a loving union together, raising faithful kids, is probably out of vogue in our time. Let's just be honest about it. So Satan tends to go after those things that are most important to God. And I've noticed in my adult years the diminishing importance of the assembly of God's people. I've heard a lot of people say, well, it really doesn't matter if you go to church. It just matters if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I really think that's a silly way to put things, to be quite honest. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're going to want to assemble together with other saints. And the Lord's Day is the time that God's people have come together in corporate worship for 2,000 years now. And I think what we have missed, and I think we've missed this point to our own detriment, the one way the church wages war is through worship.
want you to think about it. You may think, well, that's a strange concept. Where do you come up with that? First of all, you can look at Revelation. In Revelation chapter 19, you have this scene where Christ shows up triumphant. He's on a white horse, and the redeemed come with him. And the redeemed are wearing, they're all wearing, white linen. And most would realize that this is priestly type of garments. So this army that's walking with the triumphant general Jesus, or the triumphant King Jesus, they are dressed in worship garb. They're not dressed like soldiers. So we start to realize that this worship model is how we'll wage war against the evil one. You'll notice in other places like Joshua, when he lays siege to Jericho, how do they do that? They do it through worship. Now, if I were Joshua and God gave me that battle plan for Jericho, I'd think, Lord, please give me another one, because I don't know if this is going to work. And then in this story with Jehoshaphat, it's really interesting. It's at Chronicles 20. The plan for that war is to let the choir sing and let God do the work. And that had to take some faith to do that. What I want us to consider is the fight that we have in this world that we live in. It's going to be waged through worship. I firmly believe this. And what I'm about to say, I'm not belittling. But I think a lot of times we put so much time and energy into apologetics, into YouTubing, into blogging and all that. And that's great and it's wonderful. I mean, here I am on a podcast. I think all this is good. We should use these mediums. But have we forgotten the idea of the supernatural nature of worship? That when the church comes together and sings praises to God, we send the demonic to flight. And we send notice to the evil one, to Satan, that Christ is King and He is Lord over all. And maybe as we come together at the table of the Lord, we're eating in the midst of our enemies, so to speak, having peace with the Lord. Here is God's kingdom placed in this world. So when the church comes together in word and sacrament, I think it's important. I think it's powerful. I think it should be very important to churches. Here recently, I've kind of got back in touch with this idea of worship and liturgy and why it's so important, as I've done some reading over the last year. And I found that I'm woefully deficient in my understanding of the power of worship. And maybe in our own current time, churches and ministers and leaders have been influenced by this prevailing insane notion that somehow corporate worship is not that important anymore. I think we need to recapture that. And this is just my opinion, but I do think Satan goes after those things that are really important. And maybe that we have somehow not looked at this tool in the arsenal of God. Worship is warfare. Just think about that. Think about the early church in Acts when they would come together and pray and the house would be shaken. When everything was falling apart and they were being persecuted, the church didn't come together and say, hey, let's come up with a battle plan. Let's make some Molotov cocktails and go out and attack, you know, Caiaphas's palace, or let's go after the Roman soldiers and, you know, wage some type of guerrilla warfare. No, they waged war by praying and coming together, and God did the work. So maybe as Christians, we are called to worship, and that worship is warfare against the schemes of the evil one. So that's just my thoughts today. I know today I gave you a little bit more opinion than I normally do, but I do think this is really important in our time, that we need to recapture this idea of worship as warfare and how important corporate worship is, that God's people need to come together. We need to be assembled together. We need to be singing praises, being challenged by His word, and communing at the table of the Lord. That is historically what the church has done for 2,000 years. I think we need to recapture a vigor about the Lord's Day assembly.